Adele, and the reverse of that, of course, which is ironic in its own way. You see, the Beatles did Hello, Goodbye. Cover the whole thing. You say yes, I say no. Ian Lennox, who probably, again, didn't see the Brits.
No, exactly.
He's not one of the ones who would actually go, even though it's Anton Deck, two Newcastle supporting Geordie lads. He didn't actually show that support by actually watching the actual. Unless, of course, he's decided to watch it later.
No, I haven't.
And there we have it, Ian Lennox.
I've reached the sublime stage now where I hear these pop stars being mentioned. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether it's the name of the act or the song they're talking
so
about.
So you're suggesting that Tame Impala hasn't actually crossed your level and threshold of consciousness then?
Nope.
It was interesting.
Did you sit glued to the telly when it was on, did you?
I feel it's a kind of a tradition just to actually see how many of the artists I have a sort of acknowledgement or and what sort of outrageous activities they use to celebrate the best of British popular culture spread across the globe.
Right, and what do you do on European Song Night?
Well, that, of course, is coming up very shortly. It's nice to see that the six entries have sort of been released, as far as Britain's concerned. Inevitably, the Eurovision Song Contest, as Eva will attest to, a big part of this show.
Yes.
We will be focusing on that as it develops, because, once again, Eurovision, to me, the best argument for not stepping out of the European Economic Union.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
So, let's just go on that basis.
The opposite, as far as I'm concerned, I'm afraid.
For a moment, I thought he'd actually sort of said, I don't know what Ian was actually saying there. Anyway, Ian, as we know, we love you, and we love you for your curmudgeonliness. That's why you're on the show.
It's Ian's frankness.
Exactly.
That just, like, he just comes on, didn't watch Brits.
Exactly. That's why he's there. That's why
I'm in a particularly bad mood today, actually. I've got two kittens stroke cats who have just done the wall of death around my house three times.
Oh,
in a game, I think the game is to knock 10 things over before they sit down and go to sleep.
Now, Ian, we know these cats because, we've followed you on Facebook. We've seen images of the whole sort of things. I mean, you can't just say these cats. They'll feel upset. You know, give them their names, please.
Obo and Ollie.
They're so cute as well.
So who's, of the two of them, who's the more kind of irritating?
I don't really know. They both have their moments.
Yeah.
Too many of them.
they're
sweet little things. Really, they come and sit on my knee sometimes and purr away.
Exactly.
So I forgive them everything, including licking the butter off my toast this morning. the door.
He could almost be describing Anton Deck's performance at the Brits, really.
My dog's the same. We've had Casper since he was a puppy, and when he's six now, but when he was a puppy, the amount of times I literally just would go, I'd just sit there with my head in my hands because I used to look after him after school, and when he was just mad, he would go mental. Also, those cats have the biggest ears.
They're adorable.
They're more like Vulcans than actual cats.
Ollie's got the big ears. I call them big ears.
So Ollie has his big ears and Obo doesn't.
He hears everything, Ollie.
Oh.
Three streets away, somebody drops a teacup.
He might have been tuned into the Brits.
He's got better taste than that.
See, you love him really, Ian.
Oh, God, yes.
Exactly. And continue. And then when you actually sort of see the way in which they just... Yeah, it's almost like a location report in itself.
What are you showing them?
Pictures of your cat.
Exactly. Feel free to go on facebook.com / Ian Lennox, and you can join in this too, as long as it's safe and legal to do so. It's critical. There's that one, and there's that one as well. It's outrageous. Anyway, the news is coming up in a matter of seconds, Ian. Will you be kind enough to stay with us after the news so we can...
I've got a plumber arriving in shortly.
Yeah, well, that'd be good.
He's also known as the singing plumber.
Yes, I know. It's always good. He knows where his pipes are. It's all splendid stuff from that point of view. And, of course, we can celebrate and rejoice the fact that City at least have managed to sort of get back on track.
Oh, not that again.
Exactly. As far as some of the sort of aspects are concerned, it'll happen.
I think you'd shoot your manager rather badly.
He's quite happy. You know, sometimes you just have to move.
Quite happy being sacked.
Well,
I'm sacked again.
You used to work for Tyne's Television. You should know all about the sort of the appraisals of life.
The latest news and sport on Siren 107.3 FM, Cleveland's first community radio station. This is Siren FM.
And in other news, Tessa Snart is about to leave to go to shorthand.
Yes.
Never mind, Tessa. Enjoy shorthand.
Have a lovely time, Tessa.
Very nice. Ian's Bishop wishing you all the best.
My
wicked
laugh.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you. Yeah,
and that'll help her through the shorthand
it
experience,
will.
Ian.
It definitely will.
More than words can say.
Given
has
me
to
hope.
Be said.
Yeah.
Weather in Lincoln, highs of 5 degrees centigrade, lows of 0 degrees centigrade, generally dry with plenty of sunshine, but it will be staying cold with light winds. So it's a midweek dry morning edition, and we have Eva MacDonald and Claire Margerison in the house, so to speak, still going Google-eyed over Ian's cats, Ollie and Obo. Any reason for calling them Ollie and Obo? I mean, as opposed to...
Yes, when I went, my children bought me them for Christmas presents, and we had to go to cat and dog shelter, and they arrived before I did, and they'd seen a cat called, which was called Obo, which they really loved. But as we're getting two, I wanted two preferably of the same litter. So in deference to them, I called one of them Obo, because the cat that they liked was called Obo. And then I just thought, I tried trying to find a name with sort of something similar to Obo. It's not particularly similar to Ollie, but anyway, that's why I chose Ollie as well. And that was it, really. It doesn't really look like an Ollie to me, actually. It looks like big ears.
Well, having said all of that, though, as we sort of consider this, what better way to actually use these two life forms who we are privileged to share the planet with as the inspiration for your next book, Ian? I think that's Ollie and Obo, two cats on the Tyne. There we are.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to write the rest of it now, do I?
Yeah. Well, look, I can only give you the ideas, myself. Yeah, you know, you can work on that basis. Yeah. But I do see there's a possible mashup here between Ollie and Obo, Two Cats on the Tyne, and Arthur McKenzie's Seagull Flies from St. James's to Roker Park.
Nice.
Oh, yes, he's
there. The rights alone could be immense. And once Disney actually catch hold of the whole thing, yeah, it'll be your retirement plan sorted out, Ian. Trust me. Anyway, enough of such excitement. It's time to bring around Cameron Tilbury's musical selection, which I don't believe Eva you will have heard, because you know you're working on the Wintry Day. Mind you, actually, to be fair, just between the two of us, Eva, last night, difficult to actually breathe in the studio.
Really?
There were six of us.
Oh, yeah, no, I actually saw the photo on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's always a delight, but we just thought relief from that point of view.
Yes.
Moving on to that, Brianna Tyler, who will be joining us on the Midweek Drive next Wednesday.
Very excited.
Just to find out what Ian Lennox makes of her particular contribution to musical history. Courtesy of Cameron Tilbury, are you ready, Ian, for Brianna and Throwback?
I'm sitting down now, comfortably.
And are Ollie and Obo ready?
They're upstairs somewhere.
Well, they can use their computers.
I hear the sound of rattling around floorboards.
They can use their computers. They can tap in using the radio player app, and they can listen too. There's Bill Haley in the comments, emerging in terms of Brianna Tyler. You know, sometimes you think, what's happening with the computer? I'm sorry, Ian. False start.
I like Bill Haley.
Yeah, well, we might play for you.
He's some... only a few people older than I am.
Yeah. Okay. Here's Brianna Taylor. Throw it back, Ian, or would you say, no, I'll keep that. Brianna is a wonderful soul.
Oh, I liked it. I liked that song. Mm-hmm. Yes, I
actually, see, yeah. We're working on his curmudgeonliness now. You see, when he joined us, you know, a matter of moments ago, a little bit grumpy, you know.
Brightening his day.
Exactly. So we will, of course, invoice you later, Ian, because you can actually pay us out of the royalties you'll get for your forthcoming novel on your two cats.
Of course.
Yeah. Right.
Eva, any questions for yourself?
Hmm, about life in Universe.
Or Newcastle.
Or Newcastle.
Yeah, because I don't. Have you ever been to Newcastle ever?
No, I haven't.
Well, there's a gap in your education which needs to be sorted out from that point of view. Claire, have you ever been to Newcastle?
Yes, I have actually. Right. My sister had a.
Careful what you say here, Claire.
A National Youth Theatre audition in Newcastle. Oh, yeah. And we went there. And I believe, like, isn't it split by the river and then there's Gateshead on the other side?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, we went there. And there's, like, a slug building, a shiny building with that looks like a slug.
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, see? Ian knows.
I would hope so. That's why he lives there. Anyway, Eva, back to your good self.
Yeah, well, I suppose Ian could tell me a bit about Newcastle then, because I've never been.
Yeah.
What's the best part to look out for in Newcastle?
Of course, Eva MacDonald, Super Mac, Malcolm MacDonald. See what we did there, Ian?
That doesn't make sense to me.
Ian will explain all about Malcolm MacDonald.
Okay. Oh, Malcolm MacDonald, Super Mac. Mm. He is one of the more famous footballers who played for Newcastle United in the 70s. Mm. And I met him a few times, actually.
And has a radio show called The Three Legends with Bernie Slavin and Eric
Gates.
That's
correct, yeah, on the radio, yeah. He does a lot of work for the local evening paper now.
Not as famous as you, Eva, of course. Anyway, sorry, Ian, carry on. You were explaining to me.
Anyway, Newcastle, an ancient historic city that was built, well, expanded during the Norman times, and probably most famous for its architecture, which was developed in the 19th century, and the area called Granger Town, which is sort of neoclassical buildings, and it's extraordinarily beautiful. Actually, Grey Street is reckoned to be one of the finest streets in Europe. And for a city of small size in an area, it packs a lot into it. It's got the most famous nightlife in Europe, probably.
You think so? More famous than Leeds?
I think so.
Don't be ridiculous. Alex, come on.
Most of the people from my
I would have read that from the recording of this about
once again you see the difficulty there between the northern sort of
we were voted city of culture and things like that.
Were you?
When
was that then?
There's droves of people.
Glasgow, city of culture, yes. Hull.
Tens of thousands of people coming to Newcastle.
Hull is European city of culture. Liverpool's been European city of culture.
Leeds didn't.
Anyway,
it's a city built on the revolution in the 19th century.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was going to say, careful what you say there.
Much like Middlesbrough, you know, which is not even a city, but there we are. Yeah. So there we have it, Eva.
Thank you.
Anyway,
worth adding to our list of things to explore.
Take it from Eva, Newcastle's better than Leeds.
He's got very feisty, hasn't he?
And it is also football.
Really?
And a rugby.
Neither of which are doing too well, I believe, but...
Who aren't?
And, neither of the teams are doing that well, but...
we're doing better than Leeds, aren't we?
Okay. I love how Ian told me to be careful what I said about his hometown, but then as soon as he, like... Well, I'm not from Leeds, but from next to Leeds. I'm going to...
You see my point, exactly. Harrogate and Leeds, West Yorkshire. You get some, you know, ace journalist, TV producer chappy, based up in you know, some place south of Scotland, and he's chuntering on about, you know, Ian, you should be ashamed. Anyway.
Well, I'm not.
And that's the message of life. Now, do you remember Rory Gallagher, Ian Lennox?
I remember the name, but I can't place it.
Well, he was a wonderful singer and a musician who sat home, Nick Elliott, a rock star photographer, is very keen on. But we're going to be speaking in a few moments to Liz Lucas, who's got a short play, actually, celebrating life as a Rory Gallagher fan. A warm, heartfelt tribute to Rory, but also an exploration of how one performer can influence another. This is on the 2nd and 3rd of March at 8 p.m, and it's at the Drill Hall. And it's also, Eva, pay what you think it's worth.
Okay.
Ooh, I like those ones.
Yeah, pay what you think it's worth. Seating.
Well, Alex went in and demanded a pound.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was going so well, you see. Obviously, the post-sound like, I can only imagine it must be a certain tension because of the imminent arrival of the singing plumber.
Yeah, Alex, you wouldn't laugh from the fish.
No, the singing plumber will actually work. And the singing plumber with the cats in the background, it could be next year's Brit Awards nominees. Eva, last two questions for Ian Lennox, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have, yes.
Very nice. And will we be hearing again from you soon?
I hope so, unless I've been sacked.
We actually do.
No, I did like the way you actually responded, though, with very nice and a kind of, you know, yeah, fine, we haven't really had much time, but it's all good. Yeah, of course we've loved you on that sort of basis, Ian, and we wouldn't sort of have you back on the production if we didn't think it was going to be worthwhile in every
sense. Right, so it's totally half as much as you like me cats. Anyway,
I don't think we could probably actually compete with the cats,
nor would we
want to, because the feline market is...
Oh, look, I've got a new slash here. They're settling down. They've now gone into their little bed place.
In the near future, doubtless, with that...
Oh, one's purring at me.
Oh, my word. It's just, you know, we'll go from Ian's cats to...
I'll leave you on a scene of idyllic calm.
To Frodo in Gibraltar.
That's a now cue of 33 things to go.
Back then, long time ago, when grass was green.
Ah, yes, when we was fab. Apologies for the grammar, but it was George Harrison. And he does his own thing in his own unique way. It's Siren FM's Midweek Drive Morning Edition. 19 minutes past 9 o'clock, Claire Margerison.
Where has the time
past
gone?
9 o'clock. That's 19 minutes past 1 o'clock in Los Angeles.
Wow.
In the morning. Even
time is a funny
in the morning. Outrageous. Our next guest has just been having a nice cup of tea, so that's always good from that point of view. And we're delighted to welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, of course, the person behind the wonderful Facebook site, The G-Man and Me, and talking about this short play celebrating the work of Rory Gallagher, it's the wonderful Liz Lucas. Good morning, Liz. How are you?
That was a wonderful introduction. Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
Delighted to hear from your good self, and nice to see that Andrea Ferguson remembers us as well from the Jolly Brewer.
Oh, yes, she's a good friend of mine, is Andrea.
In fact, do you know Andy Kerr as well?
Andy Kerr? Mm. Is that the lad who works at the brewery?
It is, actually. Or soon to be Dr. Andy Kerr, but that's all right. You know, you've got a PhD these days. So why wouldn't you actually do some stuff on that basis? It's important. Yes, he's also from Northern Ireland. You can tell him why he's
accent. Yes, he is. Yes, yeah, he is. I've met his parents. They're terribly excited. And if I go over to Belfast, I have somewhere to stay with Andy's mum and dad.
You see?
They were delightful people.
And that's what we call sort of sharing the joy,
Sharing the joy, it is.
And Andy,
of course, Belfast is a massive Rory Gallagher stronghold, really.
Exactly. And
he was a big hero there. Yeah,
well, this is it. And we said, obviously, Nick Elliott, our very own rock star photographer, huge Rory Gallagher fan from that point of view. We'll play some Rory Gallagher music in a few moments. But first and foremost, what was it about the G-Man that effectively sort of led you to say, okay, fine, I want to do a play about him?
I think it was probably his performances, his live shows. I liked his music, but his live shows were just so dynamic and so exhilarating and so exciting. And so interesting for a performer, I think, such as I am. Interesting from that point of view, too, because they had all the elements for making a good performance. And it was just a wild and exciting... I mean, he was wild live, really wild. And yet a very mild-mannered man. And I think that was what really attracted me to him. And also the fact that he was very ordinary. He wasn't your archetypal, you know, rock star. He made himself very available to people. He would always sign autographs. He would often take fans backstage and they'd jam for hours after a gig. I think it was that appealed to me, that ordinary man on the street kind of approach that he had to everything.
I'm very impressed to see that on Rory Gallagher's official website, www.rorygallagher.com, we do have the G-Man and Me also plugged up from that sort of point of view. So, that's back in 2015, of course. We need to update the fact that this is also going to be in the Lincoln Drill Hall too.
Yes, it is. Yes, next week on Wednesday and Thursday, the 2nd and 3rd of March. And the 2nd of March would have been Rory's 68th birthday. So I thought that was an appropriate time to do it. He's been dead, getting on for 21 years now. Mm. But yes, I did, we advertised on the site last year. I took the show over to Cork, which was not Rory's birthplace, but certainly a place that he lived in from being really quite young, and sort of thought of as his hometown in some ways. And I did it in a small theatre there and advertised it on the site. And, you know, obviously some people saw it there and came to see it in Cork. But, you know, the family have been very supportive. Donald's been very helpful. Rory's brother, in terms of letting me have music and film, because it's multimedia. And also, while I was in Cork, Rory's nephew, Donald's eldest son, I think, Owen, he came over and saw it. And, you know, we had a great time. It was really good.
I love playing to people. It means a lot to me, the audience. A little quote from Rory Gallagher there, which is going to take us around to an interesting tune, which perhaps somebody might say, yeah, this could apply to certain undergraduates in a certain time. It's Rory Gallagher, Too Much Alcohol. Let's take it away. Stay with us. Liz will be back with you in a few moments. But as ever, a live performance is hopefully sort of give a little flavour as to the excitement and dynamism that this gentleman actually brought to the world of music. That as being an essential part of the Jolly Brewer experience, really. Too much alcohol. Maybe not, if you're in the hostelry business. Drink sensibly. That's the important thing. Rory Gallagher there, and Liz Lucas. So hopefully we bring you the whole raj there. Jess Ratcliffe, of course, with the Rhythm and Blues show on a monthly basis. We'll be featuring much more Rory Gallagher. But did that take you back? Did that float your boat? Was it a case of, yes, I could go along with that? It was a health advice as much as anything else.
Yes, fantastic. I really love that track. And I think you can probably hear from that the innovative element to his playing, which is just so interesting. He was never gratuitous. He played, you know, he didn't play 900 notes when one would do. He was very careful about it. And he often used to sing his guitar solos along with it. So he got those guitar solos in his head before he even started, which I always found quite incredible and a real sign of high musicianship.
Looking at the Lincoln Drill Hall information, of course, Liz Lucas, colon, the G-man and me, the colon is very important. A top quality playwright like Liz Lucas, you need to make sure that the colon is...
Because
it could have been a semicolon, but no, you said... You know,
I'm not entirely sure where that came from. I think it was one of mine.
It's all there. As we said...
I'm circumspect about my colon.
And well said, Liz. You know, that's the important thing. You know, what can happen? Goodness me. Again, a wonderful short play celebrating life as a Rory Gallagher fan 20 years after his untimely death. As you say, the play reflects on the tremendous legacy Rory left behind, takes a sideways look at how the people's guitarist influenced an ordinary life and made a lasting impression. Funny, honest and moving. Claire, will you be able to miss this? Which is, as we said earlier in the production, it's a pay-what-you-wish production.
It is.
I really like them. Is it a solo performance, Liz?
It is. It's a one-woman show. Fabulous. It's only about an hour, just over, an hour long. So it doesn't take up much of your time. It doesn't take up much of your money. And I think it's a great opportunity for everybody to kind of... Everybody has a good time. You come along, you don't pay very much. They make a little bit of money from the extra bar sales and, you know, you split your money between whatever you get. You split the money with the venue. You get a little bit of money. You know, there's not really a great deal of outlay on anybody's part. And it's just a great evening. It's not, you know, it's not West End, but then you're not paying £300. You might just pay a fiver. So I think it's just a terrific opportunity for local people to be able to get in to a venue and just try out the things that they've done. And all right, some may not be the highest of qualities, but you know, it's a wonderful platform for everybody to get up there and do their thing.
Yeah, because I know that the third year drama students at the moment, they're doing solo performances, one of the modules they're doing.
Yes, I know, because Lisa Gorn, of course, is an old friend of mine.
Yes, so I will be encouraging my boyfriend and his friends to go see it as well. I'll drag them along with me.
Drag them along, yes. We won't be handing out beer, so they'll be fine.
And Alex is just like just having a bit of a coffee break at the moment.
Should we just carry on chatting?
Yeah, it's the way forward from that point of view. Tickets available, of course, for the 2nd of March and the 3rd of March. Delighted to actually hear that you are a Lisa Gowan fan, because Lisa's been on the show as well.
Oh, she's my old mate. In fact, Lisa was the person who, when I did the show last year, overlooked it for me and did a little bit of help, because it's very difficult when you're doing a one-person show to know what you look like on stage, and you need somebody outside to just go, no, love, don't do that, do this, or, you know, that looks good, keep that in, and so on and so forth. And Lisa was my eye, and was a fantastic eye as well. She's a very, very professional lady.
Absolutely. And will you be taking the show anywhere else, or is it a case of no, after we've wrapped next week?
After we've wrapped, I don't know. I'm kind of looking at the possibility and the logistics and taking it to Ballyshannon, because every year in May they have that's Rory's birthplace, and they have a massive Rory Fest, and they fill the streets and have hundreds of bands and all sorts of things going on, and there is a theatre there, apparently. So I might push and see if I could get, it's just the logistics of getting sort of a set over there. Oh, I mean, it's not very big, but, you know, getting stuff over there, because it's quite expensive on the boat, so your outlay is quite a lot as well. So it's kind of working that out, really, and whether that would go down well at that kind of event, you know.
And for the completists, a couple of standard questions, which I suppose we will sort of work through that. Rory Gallagher, no relation to Liam Gallagher or the brothers Gallagher?
No relation at all, as far as I know.
And equally, Liz Lucas, no relation to George Lucas, the creator of the Star Wars universe?
Unfortunately, not. No inheritance possibilities there.
Well, I'm just thinking, surely George has got a bit of a spare time on his hands now that he's handed over Star Wars to Disney. He could actually do a version of Liz Lucas, the G-Man and me.
We're in a similar business, aren't we, really?
Exactly.
Let's face it. Yeah, I might write to him.
I think the movie version is there. We've put it out there via podcast. It's all sorted. Yeah.
George will be on the phone within the hour,
right? Of course.
In Los Angeles, it's just coming up to 22 minutes to 2 o'clock in the morning. So
you might
have to wait until the podcast. We'll find out whether we're around anything. Liz, it's been wonderful sharing some thoughts with your good self today on The G-Man and Me, and a fantastic play and production that's actually there. Have you enjoyed your first debut on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Oh, I certainly have. Thank you very much indeed. I enjoyed my tea. I enjoyed my chat. Oh. I enjoyed your coffee.
Oh, there you are. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. It was actually coughing as opposed to coffee. It's too much phlegm in one, and the other way, just step away from it. It's not good. You know, good microphone technique. It's always good that point of view. So I take it then, Liz, you'd be happy to join us again in the near future, and maybe actually drop by the studio one day.
I certainly would. That would be great if I get my mind around anything else, which I'm kind of starting to think about. So,
round of applause for our ace playwright, Liz Lucas.
Yay! Hooray! Thank you very much.
Think that it was 1983 when No Smoking Day first launched on the national consciousness. Now, 33 years later, we're still actually having No Smoking Day. Please, why? Why aren't people getting the message? Particularly when you're looking at some of the figures that connect smoking with some very, very challenging life conditions, such as wonderful PAD. I say wonderful, it's not wonderful at all. It's peripheral arterial disease. To address this issue and a whole heap of other things for National No Smoking Day, we're delighted to welcome senior cardiac nurse from the British Heart Foundation, the wonderful Emily Reeve. Emily, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. So as I said, 33, is the message not getting through? I mean, is it just a case of, you know, look, don't smoke. Smoking is bad. It will kill you.
Well, obviously, people are still smoking. We are aware that although it has, you know, dramatically reduced, that is still a problem out there. And obviously, you mentioned peripheral arterial disease, and we know that 500,000 people are living with this serious vascular condition that I think a lot of people don't necessarily associate with smoking. And obviously, it's very serious. People people having, you know, not always, but they can lead to them having amputations. And, you know, it's a huge risk, as well as all the other health messages that we already know about.
Absolutely. Now, looking at the figures within the Lincolnshire zone, we see that we're in the thousands, really. We've got over 1,000 in East Lindsay, over 1,000 in South Caerstephen, Lincoln itself about 580. Again, this surely, in many ways, though, it's a preventable disease, and it's very much a case of locking into that whole notion of not smoking, because that does exacerbate the condition.
Absolutely. We know that 9 in 10 people that have peripheral arterial disease are smokers or have smoked in the past. So there is a huge connection with it. And often, you know, due to the silent nature of this condition, a lot of people may not know they have it until it's too late. Then they're more at risk of developing cardiovascular problems and having a heart attack or a stroke. So it's good to be aware. And if people do have any symptoms, such as leg pain being one of them, obviously we'd encourage them to talk to their GP, but more than anything, we really want them to get involved on No Smoking Day on the 9th of March and make that quick attempt.
It's critical, clearly. I mean, we're talking about circulation here, we're talking about the pipes, the plumbing, all of those kind of issues. And just as I say, if you have standard plumbing in a house, if it gets clogged up with stuff with gunk that you're suddenly sending down the line, it's not going to actually help the circulation at all.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of to think about it in the same way as when we talk about coronary heart disease. Obviously, it's not the same. It's only affecting areas outside of the heart, but it's the same principle. So your arteries are becoming blocked up and narrow. That's due to many different risk factors alongside the smoking. But with smoking in particular, we know that the nicotine, that causes a vasoconstriction, and then, you know, the blood's thickened, and that increases your risk of the blood clotting as well, as long as the atherosclerosis, which is sped up because of the impact it has on the inside of the arteries. And obviously, I think if people think about this and they think about all the other risk factors associated with smoking, you know, it's enough to just to be a quitter, to make that quit attempt. And really, you know, we want to, our kind of theme is proud to be a quitter. We want people to be proud to be doing it. And, you know, just because you don't succeed first time round doesn't mean you shouldn't carry on and have another try. And, you know, more people who, you know, are successful in the quit attempt, because we know that 2/3 of smokers do want to quit, they're more successful when they do set a date to do so.
In an ideal world, presumably one would never actually start. But allowing for that, you've just raised a very interesting point with respect to No Smoking Day. For folk who kind of feel, oh, I've tried once, it doesn't, I'm addicted, and they can't go on. You can obviously still impact and actually improve your health markedly by stopping smoking, and hence the reason for No Smoking Day.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's what we really want people to do this year. There's it's all on the website, nosmokingday.org.uk. And there's so many resources on there, lots of information. People can download a pack as well and get inspired by other people who have made that quit attempt and have been successful. So we really want people to make that move, this year. Why not do it now? You know, people can put it off and think of other reasons, but if you've got the support of people around you as well, then there's really nothing stopping you from doing it.
No Smoking Day, of course, merged with the British Heart Foundation in 2011. But as we look at the 33rd year, as we said at the top of the piece for the No Smoking Day campaign, let's hope that in another 33 years, by the time we get to 2050, we won't actually have to have a No Smoking Day, because it'll literally be a case of, why would you even bother smoking in the first place? Emily, it's been wonderful touching base with yourself. A reminder, of course, the website is nosmokingday.org.uk. And again, one presumes it's not just for the day, it's for the whole year and indeed a lifetime.
Absolutely.
Excellent stuff. Emily Reeve, Senior Cardio Nurse from the British Heart Foundation. Many thanks indeed. From the John Wenham's events diary, if he can actually get the words out, the first weekend in March this year, that would be 2016, is going to be extremely busy for the Newark Air Museum, with not one but two major events taking place on Saturday the 5th and Sunday the 6th of March 2016. On Saturday the 5th of March, the museum is hosting the first of the indoor Aeroboot Aero Jumble sail events. Indoor Aero Boot Aero Jumble, say the events of the year. It's a charity fundraising event that has attracted interest from a wide range of sellers of aviation goods and items from around the UK. And it's also sold out all of its 52 seller spaces. So funds that the museum actually raises from organising the event will go on to support Project Panini. The Build, which is a fundraising campaign to build a new cafe and toilet facility at the museum.
Oh, lovely. Very nice.
Excellent. And you can find out more about that by going to newarkmuseum.org. Splendid. Well, almost at the end of the programme.
Where has that time gone?
Yeah, I know. We didn't contact William Sirtwell because we thought we wouldn't do so. I don't know where in the world he actually is. So
he's a busy man.
Last week he did send back, when we sent him a text, he just got off the plane.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so, you know, we just, so I thought
I'd love to do that. We'd ease
back and give a little bit extra to Liz Lucas from that point of view. A reminder, of course, in terms of events, next Wednesday we have the first in the mini screening of science fiction films at the MTech Centre. 2 o'clock, if you wish to make it. And it's Planet of the Apes.
I've never seen that, you know. So I'm going to have my eyes opened to more science fiction wondrousness.
So. Charlton Heston. Charlton Heston, obviously, being another connection entirely. But Charlton Heston and others, including Roy McDowell, will be there. And it's a totally free event at the MTech Lincoln University. MTech, which is just next door to the MHT building, which is where Siren FM is based. There, he's identified everybody precisely. We'll be saying our farewells, doing our final roll of honour in a few seconds after this little number, which I think you'd like to dedicate to your parents, Claire, because it's Sting and Gordon and Andy, otherwise known as the Police, and a little number that's entitled...
Nice, Roxanne.
Would you like to name your parents as well?
Yeah, Sally and Rob. They're on holiday in Northumberland at the moment, having a wonderful time.
So actually, north of Newcastle then?
Yeah, up north.
Newcastle.
Roxanne!